This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And as we enter this pivotal offseason, we have several complex decisions ahead of us. And we are committed to providing the human and financial resources needed to ensuring, Mike, that we navigate these decisions with a high level of precision and foresight.
Now, again, that's Oren playing that soundbite. And again, we don't see a guy, anyone see anybody lose their job.
No.
He was getting compensated for it. By the way, look it up. He made like $20 million in the league as a player over the years.
Landry?
Yeah, surprised me. But it's a result-driven business like anything else. Nico Harrison's going to get fired, I would imagine, in Dallas because he said some stupid things in light of the Luka trade, and the more that's come to light. But yeah, if we're wrestler, we're in this, Carl, it's literally Groundhog Day.
It is.
Every morning, you know, it never changes. It's like Bill Murray, you hit the alarm, same old. We are in, we're 500, sub 500. I've talked about the teams that were below us that have reached and they've gone above us. And then the constant, of course, is, you know, you have a lot of folks here that feel that Trae Young is legitimate superstar in this league and he deserves more respect than he gets. And you just got to go get him the right piece. And they've never done. Now, I'll agree with all those people. Yes, we've never given him the star. The DeJounte Murray thing was stupid. Made no sense at the time. You and I didn't think it made sense then. Doesn't now. But now you got Reese Sauché. Look, and guys, well, Mike, you're banging on the GM. He did get Reese. Well, look, it was either Reese Sauché or Sarr. I think either one's going to be good. Sarr might have been a slower burn to get going, but Sarr's a big man. We need a big man. Reese Sauché looks like a good piece. Although Reese Sauché was terrible, let's be honest, in the playoffs.
He was terrible.
You know, I mean, that's a learning moment for him.
Yep.
But, you know, when are we going to spend the money? And I'm not talking about Carl Brink. You and I have said this. You're not bringing a name in here for name's sake. That's silly. You know, but you've got to get the right pieces. And now we have no idea who this general manager is going to be. I would say you go get somebody from one of those teams we've mentioned, teams which have turned it around very quickly. That's what you need.
Yeah, there are about, obviously there are 10 or so franchises, maybe 12 that you look to and say they've had an incredible turnaround. Listen, Sam Presti right now at Oklahoma City is the standard. He leaves San Antonio as a young guy under Pop and another guy named R.C. Slocum, or R.C. Buford, should I say, who've been in San Antonio for a long time, and they have been the two guys that have made all these decisions when it comes to how they've gone about their business. And, Mike, for everybody that talks about, you know, no, guys don't want to come here and all that stuff.
Baloney.
It's crap, man. It's crap. And I just feel like you got to have decision makers who have a bigger vision and of understanding where they want to go. But Presti's the guy. He's not going anywhere. The OKC Thunder might be good for a decade, depending on how they maneuver and keeping guys. And he set that situation up after, by the way, already having Durant and Harden and Westbrook, which were all MVPs. And he's about to have another one in SGA.
Right.
So he's not going anywhere. But that's what you want. You want to go to one of those organizations and say, hey, I need somebody with that kind of vision and understanding where the league is at with these aprons and how we can maneuver the luxury tax. We got a lot of money to spend. What do we need to do?
Now, again, guys, if you're cool, and I get a lot of fans and the rallying cries, young core. Carl looked at the ages. Yes, we're a young core. So what? I mean, we're going to talk about our process now? Talk to the Sixers. How did that process work out? Okay? We've talked about it. We had a group of players, okay? In 21, you decided that, we can debate whether Red Velvet was worth keeping or not, right? What his career has been afterwards, after he went on to Sacramento. But you started subtracting pieces that got you to this conference championship. And I heard on the broadcast, and I thought Ian Eagle brought this up the other day, he goes, people are looking back at 21, is it an aberration? That after COVID, that not everybody was putting the work in or was as committed or whatever, and we just got on a heater? See, I don't buy that. I think Trey and we were better. And everybody still had to play by the same damn rules, Carlos, the same damn sport. They didn't change it. And we were better. And I think if Trey doesn't get hooked up with the ref on the sideline, I'd have given us a 50-50 to beat the Suns if we'd gotten past Milwaukee.
Oh, I agree.
Those guys are soft as Charmin.
Well, we forget. And Trey had 48 in that first game against Milwaukee. Like, he was balling. And then the foot thing happened. You're right. We will always look back at that. But it's time to look forward, man, and say, where are we going? I know he averaged 24 and 12 assists a game. I get it. But I asked the question because this is what the Hawks are going to have to ask themselves. Can we win with him?
And again, part of the reason Chris Thomas, a former producer here at Night Now on 92.9 The Game, going, wow, he'll tell you about it himself. But on social media today, he was saying, man, we're firing Landry Fields. Just he's starting to figure it out. Sorry.
No.
3 years in, pal.
No.
You had your chance and you blew it.
Yeah,
just talked about it, man. We lost three number one picks for the most ill-advised trade in history since they dumped Dominique for Danny Manning. Stupid. Dumb. We wasted positive momentum, and we lost momentum, and we went backwards, and the only thing we have to show forward is Dyson Daniels now. And I don't move three picks, waste two of Trey's years just to get Dyson Daniels in the rub. That's stupid.
No, it is. That was that's one that comes back to bite you. More on the Hawks, guys, as they fire Landry Fields today and what their future is. More on the Braves as well. But right now, let's get to 4th and 1.
It's time for 4th and 1 on Dukes and Bell.
First down. Let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike, all the conversation leading up to the draft is about what edge rushers are potentially healthy. This is a big point of contention, guys. We need to talk about this for a second. Because as much as you may have fallen in love with one or two or three of these guys, and you say, Dukes and Bell, this is the guy that's going to be the difference maker, and he might be. But if there are injury concerns going into the draft,
right,
that doesn't change once he becomes an Atlanta Falcon. As a matter of fact, it becomes more of a concern as to whether he's going to be ready for OTAs and rookie camp. And, Mike, then we talk about training camp. And, don't let it be one of these nagging injuries that we don't know about that maybe hasn't been all reported. And now we're going into a season with a guy that's banged up. No, thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yesterday, or I think it was last week on Friday, I said, you know what, man? The more I've been talking about it and talking to myself, I want Mykal Williams. And then I see Albert Breer in Monday Morning Quarterback today, and he basically says that Mykal Williams had a so-so workout. Oren was talking about this today in our show meeting. Didn't really run very well. Told teams he wasn't at his best because an ankle injury from the fall still hampered him a little.
How long is this thing going to be? Are we talking about?
That's the thing. Then you say, well, does this ankle need surgery? And I'm not trying to put words in people's mouths, but you know, I really like Mykal Williams. I think Georgia player in our system rounds into a really good edge rusher, but that's a concern. Jahad Campbell from Alabama, they're saying he might start the season on the PUP list.
What?
Yep. Apparently, he's got a shoulder injury. He had shoulder surgery after the combine. Teams are projecting him as a candidate to start the season on the PUP list.
That's not good news.
So that's another guy, and he's picked right where we are picking right in that area. Will Johnson, another guy you see on mock drafts coming to the Falcons. That's if we go corner. He's got an injury. He's had issues himself. He's got a knee injury that's been flagged. He did not do the 40 in his pro day. Didn't do 40 in a subsequent workout for other teams.
Mike, he's not a burner either.
No, that's a red flag. And, of course, Abdul Carter, everyone says he may still need some surgery. But whether that's all about how your medical sees it, these are all guys projected to pick before where we are, 15 to 16 and number one.
Now, everybody I've talked to says, don't worry about Abdul Carter Dukes. He played in all the games. He's legit. The film doesn't lie. He's blah, blah, blah. He hadn't done any of this stuff when it comes to working out for teams, Mike, even in his pro. Like, he's talked to everybody. He's done the medical stuff, and everybody's aware of what's going on with him, but he hadn't worked out. Like, he hasn't really done anything to either enhance. And again, when you're considered to be the top edge rusher, do you need to enhance your situation? Somebody's going to roll the dice and take a chance on you. But I find that concerning, just a little bit. I mean, Danny, you can tell me that you're not worried, but that's a little concerning. So let me ask you this then. Knowing what you just said about these guys, Thursday's the draft. Are you leaning more now towards Shamar Stewart or Jalen Walker if one of those guys are there, or Mike Green or Mike anybody right. outside of one of these guys that may have a lagging injury? Maybe a James Pierce? Would you be more tempted to draft those guys based on the fact that you know they don't have any of the
well,
stuff
that just
going
did.
On?
I mean, it's like, well, two ways of looking at it. I mean, you know, the Michael Penix Jr. thing, because the coach wanted Kirk Cousins, at least what D-Led said. Steve Weiss thought it came from Arthur Blank. I thought it came from Arthur Blank. We talked to D-Led a few months back, and he's like, no, man, coach wanted Cousins from his time with Redskins. And that our GM told us that we'd never be picking this low and you couldn't turn down Penix Jr., so we went with it. Okay, so that's different. Now your job's on the line, and edge rush is a glaring weakness. So are you telling me you're going to take a guy that maybe has the higher upside, but there's a short term he gets adjusted to the position?
Mike, you don't have that
he
kind of
time.
He has
an injury? No, I need an impact guy right now.
You don't have that kind of
that's,
time.
That's Mike Green, right? That's no, Mike Green if I got to get impact.
You don't. We don't have Atlanta. We don't have that kind of time.
He doesn't have that time. If we don't make the playoffs, Fontenot's going to get fired. Maybe Rob, but I know that Jim is going to get got. Okay, because if you want to give him that first year as a pass with the cap and everything else, this is still now on his watch. That would be four seasons now without a trip to the playoffs. So you'd be gone.
All right, let's talk Kirk Cousins here for a second, and we've got more interesting information coming up at 5 o'clock about Cousins. Guys, we told you the draft is when this might play out. It just might this week. We're going to wait to see. But Dan Patrick was talking about this, Mike, in regards to Aaron Rodgers. And what is the holdup for him going to Pittsburgh? It seems like the best situation for him, even though he says he has other options. Listen to what Dan Patrick says about this.
But if you say, all right, now I know what I have here, who I have here. I've spoken to the coach. I've spoken to the GM, spoken to ownership here. All right. Now let me see what you do in the draft. Because if I'm Aaron Rodgers, are you getting somebody who's going to help me if I'm your quarterback? Are you going to draft my replacement and I'm not even there to be replaced yet? And I think what happened to Kirk Cousins in Atlanta is something that Aaron Rodgers is probably at least aware of.
And it gets us back to, you know, we know Kirk Cousins, he maybe wraps it up in a more warm and fuzzy package than Aaron Rodgers. But at the end, they're both egomaniacs and they're guys that obviously were threatened. Now, in Cousins' defense, he thought he was coming here with just that same kind of plan. They did an end around. He did not know we were going to get Penix Jr. You saw his reaction on draft night. But you buy that with Dan Sellin, that basically Aaron Rodgers is in that same argument.
Yeah, but I also have to – you have to think about where you're at in your career. You're not 26.
This could be your last ride. You're going to take Pittsburgh back to the Super Bowl or not? And you get one shot at it, and you're such a big gunslinger, and you're such a this and that. Well, go for it, big shot. The big ball's on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. No, I got to have total security in a position for 1 year? Get out of here.
No, I just feel like if I'm a 40-plus-year-old guy, even regardless of how many MVPs I've won, I have to know my time's limited. They're probably going to draft a quarterback, and I'm going to – wherever it is, the best situation. I've said this before. For people who continue to say he's going to sit out, you don't get to pick who gets hurt. You don't get to pick what the circumstances are with that particular team. Everybody assumes it's going to be a contender, and that guy's going to get hurt, and then Aaron's going to come to the rescue. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So I just think you go and you pick a decision or you make a decision on where you want to go, but it can't be based on do they have my replacement? You're 40 plus. Isn't that they're going to get somebody else to come in and eventually think about the next decade?